Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
A bad toothache. We are back again for another Wednesday episode.
Like a bad toothache? Come on. Do you realize that we're actually sacrificing one day of our, well, I don't know, this is not necessarily a holiday, is it? Tomorrow is.
It's a pre-holiday holiday, which is enough to, a good enough excuse anyways.
Yeah, right. But we're sacrificing to be here. That's it.
We are,
yeah.
Especially because we have so many people that are just lined up at the door right now waiting to talk to us at 646-721-9887, that it makes all this effort of coming together. And
is that what all those people are?
And that, well, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry, but I already believe. I don't need your brochure. Thank you very much.
Yeah, really? This is an interesting thing, and this is not something weird, but Latvia is a country, right?
So what?
Latvia is a country, and a supermarket fell, I don't know why, it collapsed, and the prime minister of Latvia resigned because of it. So there's no government in Latvia at the moment because of this tragedy.
Hey, maybe we could. No, we already don't have a government.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. That's terrible. I was going to say something bad that wouldn't have been good. Okay. Anyway, sorry. I just read this. It says Latvian government fails over rigorous supermarket disaster. And Latvia's Prime Minister, Valdis Dombrovskis, announced his resignation and thereby the fall of his government over the collapse of the supermarket.
Yeah, the fall of his government and supermarkets.
Well, it must not be a big country. I mean, like, there must be only one supermarket.
Well, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that country was a supermarket.
We know that's a possibility, you know. And if the owner of the supermarket was a prime minister, it could be.
It could be. You know, it could be that, they probably just have one Walmart and that's the whole country.
Well, this wasn't a Walmart. It was a Riga.
Okay, Rigamart. I don't.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's.
But anyways, for anybody that just happened to be tuning in at the first 5 minutes, tell them what we are besides complaining about falling down supermarkets.
Well, we're gonna sit here and chit chat about various things in the news and solve most of the world's problems in the next 90 minutes.
That's right.
And you can help us by calling 646-721-9887.
Okay.
646-721-9887. That's easy.
Okay, let me be sure I got it. Okay, that's a 6-4-6-7-2-1.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. 9887. Hey, that's
correct.
C.
That's easy. Easy, just easy peasy.
Easy. And
I know all those old sayings. Easy peasy.
And I understand if you call that number, too, you can actually listen to the program while we're live between 1 o'clock and 2:30. And, by the way, speaking of, before I jump to conclusions, if you decide you'd like to join the conversation as well, you just push 1 on your cell phone or whatever communications type device that you have with a keypad, and it will come up on my board, and I will say, welcome to the show, area code so-and-so, and you can join in. However,
you do realize it sells them that on the phone when they call.
There are no cells on the phone?
Yeah, it tells them all of that information that you just delivered on the phone when they call.
Just in case somebody was scared to do it, just because it doesn't really tell you, really, it doesn't really tell you anywhere. It just decides to call that number, and if you're afraid that you're going to go right into the queue because you dialed that number, you know, like a...
No, it doesn't. It does. It tells you all of that stuff that you just said.
Saying if you're afraid to even dial it in the first place.
Oh, I see.
If you're
interested,
dialer, and you're afraid to even get
chicken.
A chicken dialer.
Chicken.
But anyway, if you happen to miss the live program, shame on you. You can always listen to us on from the archives on Blog Talk Radio and on iTunes. And also what I'd like to ask people to do, and I want to be sure to bring this up in the first part of the program, is I've noticed that we've had a Facebook page for quite a while, but apparently Facebook and I don't get along. And so because I manage the Facebook page, when I go into my personal Facebook and search for our show, Caribbean Radio, of course it shows right up. But I had recently a friend of mine who has never been there to go on Facebook and try to find it, and she failed. So if you'd like to go and give us we're looking for at least a minimum of another 12 likes, which should give us a better address. But go to our Blog Talk Radio page. There's a link to the Facebook page. That'll take you right there, and at least like us so we can get that number up. And because I'm starting to put some stuff on there, but again, if I get zero traffic, there's no point. So again, if you're listening to the program, which is the only reason why you're hearing me right now, go to the Facebook page, hit the like button, and let's get those numbers up. I need at least 12 more likes to get our own address.
You know, interestingly enough, I was playing around all morning trying to get to us. I tried to get to us by finding Blog Talk, and I could not find anything on Blog Talk that allowed us to come up. Blog Talk wanted me to start a page of my own or to go on the air and tell the world what we thought. And they're a little bit, I don't know.
Well, Blog Talk Radio is dying, and the reason why I say that is that Sal Levy, who did Blog Talk Radio, he's grown it from an idea of a way for he can communicate with his father, his ailing father, I guess, and it grew into the network that it is now focusing more on the larger, like the Travis Smiley networks that, these are networks. These are people that are willing to shell out over $2,000 a month to have, a whole network with other shows inside their network. The problem with that is that what really built Blog Talk Radio was little shows like ours. And this is what draws listeners in. Because my theory is that if you wanted to go to a network, you can go to if you like Rush Limbaugh, you go to the Rush Limbaugh site, or you go to a station that carries Rush Limbaugh, there he is. You don't need Blog Talk Radio. Why go to Blog Talk Radio to listen to Travis Smiley or to listen to The View or whatever that you can see on TV or do whatever? I think most people come to Blog Talk Radio for forums like us or for more specialty forums that other Blog Talk Radio shows or hosts offer. And
well, the only problem was when we first started out doing this, we didn't pay anything for Blog Talk, did we?
Not at the beginning. We started off with the free, which was 1 hour a day free, then they dropped it down to 30 minutes and took
away. Well, see, now they can't live that way. They can't go on that way. So consequently, they had to do something.
I don't agree. I mean, we pay for this service.
Yeah.
We pay good money per month for this service. But the point is that, and because we pay for it, we get a maximum of 2 hours a day, and we get some amenities that go along with it, including supposedly more exposure. But then, like I say, you had one or two of the small networks, but now they're really seeking the $2,000 plus accounts, and they're overshadowing a lot of the little people, where it even makes it even difficult even as we're broadcasting right now, I haven't checked in a couple of weeks because we keep changing everything, to even find us while we're live. And if you can't find yourself, how is somebody else supposed to find you? And when you go to the forums on Blog Talk Radio, there's a lot of people that are having these same issues. And I know a friend of mine, she's got over 1 million listens, and she's also noticed a huge drop in numbers for the same reason. People can't find her.
Yeah.
And she's thinking about she's gonna go to the first of the year and then reconsider whether or not she's gonna continue on Blog Talk Radio or go to one of the other new and emerging sites. So.
New and emerging, huh?
Oh yeah, because there are more are emerging and new, whatever. But anyways, so 646-721-9887 as we are.
Well, now you see, the interesting thing is, it used to be that if we just put in KRBR, radio. I see what's wrong.
What?
I didn't put it in.
It makes a difference if you put it in.
Yeah, right. I put in something different. That's why it didn't work. Anyway, if you just put that into Google, you find us.
Remind me that when it becomes a paying job, I'll forget to put
spell my name wrong and never get my paycheck.
That's right. I'll start with two F's.
Yeah. Oh, well, that works because I know everybody does that that way, so I have it set up so I can sign things with one or two.
Yes. You spell Cliff with one F, C-L-I-F, and so you're F-less.
Be careful. yes. Anyway, what are we talking about today? Anything particular?
Actually, we do have a few things to talk about. I don't know how much we're going to touch on Obamacare because everybody and my dogs, the cats are even talking about it, and they don't even know what it is, which is goes along with most people.
You might mention that speaking of Obamacare, getting a little bit closer to home, not one person has yet enrolled from Oregon.
That's right.
And that makes Obamacare rather a complete failure as far as I'm concerned. I mean, now, there are other places that they haven't has signed up either. It's because they can't. I mean, you can't sign up if you can't get it online, but even when they've had it online and it does, it doesn't work. It just simply doesn't work. So,
and here's the thing, okay? You pass a law requiring people to do this, and you don't even have the mechanisms in place.
Then you make sure they can't do it.
Right. And yet, instead of saying, being smart, instead of saying, okay, it don't work, we're going to have a moratorium for a year till we get it fixed.
Well, you can collect a lot of money in fines.
Exactly.
That's the way it works, you know. Give them something you have to do and then make sure they can't do it and that they get a fine if they don't.
Yeah. What am I not?
Unfortunately, that sounds like our government.
Yes. Well, the thing is that there are millions of people that are already have got cancellation notices. And like I've been saying for a long time, and so far I've been fairly pretty much right, is when you start doing your taxes coming up before April, and you look on it, and because like H&R Block, for example, started doing this last year, you know, they say, well, you know, under the Obamacare, you would have had to pay this fine. Well, now it's law, and they will still tell you if you didn't have insurance how much your fine will be, or if you don't have insurance, you're going to look at there is at least going to be a $95 deduction on your tax refund if you get one at all, or you're going to be paying tax, and you're going to be going, what the heck is this?
I keep watching on television, more and more people are saying it's cheaper to pay the fine.
Yes. And this is what kind of...
The only problem is when you pay the fine, you still don't have insurance.
Exactly, which Obama argued with Nancy Pelosi, those exact words. In fact, even Obama, and I don't have the audio for it, unfortunately, said that, well, if we could cure homelessness by passing a law to requiring everybody to buy a house, well, because he was comparing it to, well, if we could just pass a law to requiring everybody to have health insurance, that'd fix insurance.
You can't cure anything by passing a law.
No.
Nothing.
No. But people are starting to wake up because, like the example I gave before, yeah, here's a good example. I got, like Cliff and I were talking off air. I was recently talking with an online conversation, and we were talking about Obamacare. And this guy was definitely a low-information voter because he started spilling out and calling me a free rider, which is what Nancy Pelosi tried to start to get people to go, oh, you're not going to sign up, then you must be a free rider. You're going to live off the coattails of the taxpayers. So he is mimicking that and claiming that Nancy Pelosi never said that. Don't ever tell me somebody never said that, because it won't take me that long to give you a link.
Yeah, really.
Same thing with the one about Obama and buying a house. Somebody said, ah, you're just putting words in the president's mouth. Nope, here's your link.
Really?
Yes, I do enough of this stuff that...
don't have to put words in Obama's mouth.
No.
Puts enough of them there himself.
No, and I've done enough of this type of media stuff, including blogging, whatever, that you cite your sources.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so, but the general argument is that, and again, the lowest voter, is, yes, on the premise, I will agree with him with this, on the premise, yes, it would be nice if everybody had health care, but that's not the way Obamacare was set up. You know, and when they say, well, you know, can't you just come up with the money to buy the insurance? Okay, fine. Yeah, I have an extra $200 or $300 just laying around every month I can spend. Sure, I'd love to do it. But it gets back to that old thing that if we could afford to buy insurance, we wouldn't need a law requiring us to buy insurance.
Well, that should be true. It's not, I'm sure. There are some people who wouldn't bother anyway.
Well, yeah.
If they had enough money, they'd consider it extra money, and they'd go out and buy something else, new car.
And like what they are relying on is the young people. This is where they're stupid. Because I guess what it is that they forget where they came from as a kid. I mean, when I was 20, 30 years old, unless my job offered me insurance, I wasn't thinking about buying insurance, especially
right.
If I didn't have a family. And then especially, during some of my jobs where I'm working two or three jobs just to make ends meet and I'm barely scraping by, I'd love to have insurance. But where is that money going to come from? When you're running, literally a break even every month and, we're an extra – well, I remember the arguments about the energy where just spending an extra $10 a month on utilities was going to hurt the fixed income, and the government's suggesting that would shut off a couple of lights. but that's the whole point. And this is the argument that really – I've had several people say this. Well, you just tough it up and come up with a $50 or another $200. Great. Where is it going to come from? Because my paycheck is only so much. My utilities are what it is. I can't cut them down anymore. I'd love to. My rent or my mortgage, in my case, is this amount. So here's a few things I really can't control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then if I just happen to lose my job on top of that, and I'm on unemployment, which is what, a maximum $450 a week or something like that, before taxes, again, if you don't have enough money to pay your base overhead, and I don't smoke and I don't drink, now you're throwing an extra, penalty on me for not having insurance. I mean, there is a 3 months forgiveness hardship if you don't have work, if you don't have a job. But beyond that, then you are, of course, in violation and you're going to pay the fine.
Well, if you don't have work, it seems to me like there are ways around it. But anyway, I understand what you're saying. The money is just not there. If the money is not there, there is an awful lot of people in your position where they're making just too much, just a smidgen too much money, and they can't. They're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Right.
But you see, it doesn't seem like much when you're looking at the overall picture. You know, Obama sits there and says, well, yeah, it's only 5% of the entire population. 5% of 400 million people or whatever we have in our population is not very much. But you forget that 5%, when you figure it out in numbers, is a couple hundred thousand people that are stuck here. And yeah. So it is a lot.
Oh, exactly. And not one size fits all. You know, that's why they're complaining now that, oh, gee, a lot of older and sick people are signing up for Obamacare and the young people aren't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that? Well, because some people don't. I got a friend of mine that's, he almost died about 2 months. It's actually a friend of mine's brother. And he doesn't have insurance. He doesn't have a job. Well, yes, the hospital forgave a huge amount of the bill.
Well, that's who's getting stuck with all of this is the hospitals.
Yes.
And see, that doesn't accomplish anything either because the hospitals know they're going to get stuck with it, and they know they're going to have to pay for this. And in our country, they can't say no.
Right.
And so consequently, they're going to charge higher prices to the people who could afford it. And so there's still it all has to be paid for somewhere.
Well, yeah, and that's why you go in and ask for an aspirin that would usually cost $2-3 a bottle for a bottle of 50, and it costs you $5 per two, is to make up for that. But you know, here's the other.
Yeah, but these are in special little packages.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I'm sure took that. But and here's the dumb thing about the government recently. I don't know if this is federal or local. I think it's federal because there's an extra tax or surtax on medical devices. Now, how stupid is that? I mean, healthcare cost is high anyways. Hospital care is high. And yet you're going to have – you're throwing an extra tax on it, and that money goes where?
Well, you know, it's all – the money has to come from somewhere. And they're just sticking it anywhere that people have the money to pay for it. They got to find somebody who has the money to pay for it, and they figure the hospitals have it. I know it's going to go somewhere, and it's going to come from somewhere. So it's a moot point, to be honest with you. We don't need to discuss it because no matter what you discuss, if they can't get it in one place, they'll get it in another.
Well, the whole thing's crazy, if you ask me. Even
yep.
I still think it's crazy.
I agree. And the thing is, there's really nothing we can do about this. The only thing we can do about this is we can discuss what we don't have to spend. And there's an awful lot of money we don't have to spend in this country that we are spending. I mean, there's an awful lot of wasted money that we don't have to spend. And a lot of it is being spent, for example, we just decided we're going to keep people in Afghanistan for a lot longer, maybe even indefinitely. Well, then that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. We don't have that money to spend anymore. We just don't have it. And the more we do things like that, you know, we say we're going to, you know, close up all these bases overseas. And then we say, except my favorite base, which is whatever name you want to make it be. But everybody's got a favorite base, and we're going to leave all those open. So basically, we're accomplishing nothing, virtually nothing.
Exactly. Well, it's that same argument, kind of going back to healthcare in a way. We talk about our multi-trillion-dollar deficit and how we have to raise taxes and cut services and do the furloughs. And we've had to borrow from China and other countries, and yet we turn right around and give it away.
Yeah, that's another...
I mean, how does that make...
No logic in that at all.
Yeah. But we could actually take that money. And I mean, I can see if it's a loan. If it's a loan, we're actually going to get something back.
We can't do that either. We don't have money to loan. We don't have money, period. Let alone to loan.
But what I'm saying is that if we managed our federal budget like we would, you and I in our household, we would have money. We wouldn't have to have Obamacare's forcing people to do this. We could actually afford to at least have programs to subsidize, you know, like the Pell Grant is to the to college students and stuff. You know, we could actually afford to do something instead of, like I say, $400, $500, $700 a month law or penalty or whatever you want to call it. We could do more for ourselves if we managed our money better. Is what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, that's true. If we managed our money better, and whose fault is that? Who's managing our money? Well, we've got someone managing your money who doesn't understand not only money management, he doesn't understand much of anything as far as I'm concerned. He's an idiot. I mean, we've got, what we've got to do is figure out a way to keep him quiet and keep his mouth shut for at least long enough to get rid of him.
Right.
And then put somebody new in there and hope for the best. Hopefully, because it can change. It can be different. We've had other presidents who have made it different. And there are other people who have good ideas that didn't get elected. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, even the people who were running last time would have been better than what we got.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we're almost 30 minutes into the program, but I neglected to mention at the onset of the program, we do have more than just Obamacare. We do have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment coming up towards the last 30. And your phone calls, of course, at 646-721-9887. I hope you chime in. And if you don't like what we're talking about, well, give us a suggestion or join us in the chat room. The chat room's open right now. And again, you can always send us an email if there's something that you'd like us to talk about and you didn't get a chance to join us on the show.
Well, right now, one of the things we should mention, because everybody's talking about the Iranians. I mean, what are we doing with Iran? Are we going to be friends with them? And haven't we learned? Do we sit here and go back to this? I mean, they're making deals with the major power over nuclear deals and what they're doing with nuclear deals. And they're just saying, Iran is saying that, okay, we'll go ahead and do whatever we're doing with the power or the nuclear stuff. Anyway, but we won't use it for a weapon.
Yeah.
But once you've got it refined and once you've got it designed and once you've got bunches of it stacked up and waiting, you can make it into a weapon if you want to. And by the time they've got enough of it stacked up in big piles, I mean, I know it's not that way, but anyway, it's too late.
Yeah, they just take it in somebody's backyard somewhere, you know.
Yeah, right. But the point is, it's too late to do anything about it. The only thing that we've got is we do have, by doing this, we have people there on the ground in the country checking on things, supposedly. And I just wonder myself, if we do, I'd like our government to be a little more transparent in this particular case. I'd like to know who's on the ground and where they're on the ground and if they're seeing things happen. If Iran is simply saying, okay, here's where we're doing all of this in point A, but in reality they're doing it in point B and we aren't allowed.
Well, again, it gets back to the people don't care. Because it's the old question is, okay, yeah, they have nuclear capability or they have capability to paint everybody yellow. How does that affect me? Why should I care?
That's my point, whether we care or not. You and I can care or not care and make headlines yelling about it or not yelling about it. We've got a government, our federal government, is supposed to be taking care of us. And I think they're being very naive and very stupid in how they're doing it. So that's where we've got to get into putting the brakes on Obama and things that he's doing. Because a nuclear deal, any kind of a deal with Iran. How many deals have we done with Iran, and how many times have they lied to us? How many times have they backed out on it? How many times have they changed their mind? You know, and I don't mind if they change their mind. Just don't get into a deal with them in the first place so it doesn't affect us.
Yeah.
And yet here we are, right back. I mean, right back in the middle of it, and we've got our president is not smart enough to understand this.
Well, you keep saying he's not smart enough. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if his lack of smarts or the fact that he's got a plan, and it's just not in the best interest of America. You know, like they do keep saying that he supports the Muslim Brotherhood. So, and it could be. I mean, the way, as screwed up as our system is, it's very easy for somebody to get into office, as it is proven. We have no idea really who Obama really is, to get in there, to get into a source of power like Obama, and do whatever the hell he wants to do. And our system is so screwed up, the checks and balances obviously proved to fail. He's come right out and said that the Constitution gets in his way, and if Congress won't do it, he will. You know, and there's nothing that we can do about it.
Well, see, unfortunately, it's the fact that he's there at all. You say that he's smart. I'm hoping that he's stupid. I'm hoping that he's dumb, like I consider him to be, because if he's not, then he's trying to destroy our country, and I don't want to think that.
Well, that's the whole point, is that, because I've asked this question even before Obama, is what happens if we have a rogue president that gets into office and the other branches refuse to do the checks and balance, you know, what's to stop him? Well, unfortunately, I'm getting the answer to that question.
Well, in this particular case, it's the other branches of government have not said yes. They have not said you can do this or that and the other. He just does it anyway.
And see, that's the thing I don't understand, is that, you know, the president just can't go and say, for example, and just pass a law and that's the way it is. It has to be approved through different measures. And, you know, they say he's doing things beyond the Constitution. Well, again, he just can't. The way the system is set up, he just can't come right out and just say, "Well, I'm gonna just go out there and just do this, and that's the way it is."
If we let him,
and that's
so what, we should be getting rid of him.
Is that they're letting him, and the question is why and how are they letting him?
As I say, we should be getting rid of him. We should be kicking him out of office. However, I'd rather have our vice president take over. I mean, I'm sure he could do a better job than Obama does.
Well, it depends on if you go hunting with him or not.
Well, I mean, if he wants to come out and shoot you, that's another story entirely. He can do that without being vice president.
But there's a whole bunch of people, you know, Obama, Pelosi, Boehner, and a bunch of those people, they need to go. You know, like the way it was originally set up, it was not set up to be a career. It was set up, you come in, you do a term or two, and you go back home.
Well, I believe as long as Obama's there, we're going to have those other people who are riding in his coattails. So we've got to get rid of him. That's just all there is to it.
Well, I agree, and hopefully before before his term is up. In fact,
well, we won't.
I doubt that would happen, but and there's been some talk about impeachment. In fact, there's been more talk about impeaching Boehner than there is Obama, which is kind of like, why are you guys looking at Boehner? I mean, you know, he's not the greatest, but pay attention to who you really need to be focused on. But the point is that if we actually got a movement in there, then maybe that would get their attention. But they know that to even talk about impeachment, you know, you got to go through the whole bunch of articles of impeachment or whatever. You got to have so many people in the House to do it, and there's a whole bunch of steps that you got to go through to even think about doing it. And they know that that's not going to happen.
And see, the thing is, it would take so long to impeach him that he's going to be able to do anything he wants to anyway. Because, you know, he's only got 2 years, a little over 2 years.
Exactly.
Well, It's really damned if you do and damned if you don't. And there's nothing you can do as far as I think. I got to be careful what I say here because I'm going to say something wrong. So we'll stop saying it. Anyway.
Exactly. What we can say, though, is 646-721-9887. Again, inviting people to give us a call and share their opinion. How do you feel about this? Or how do you feel about that? Or more so, how do you feel about the other thing? Give us a call.
You know, I got another thing that's something I can scream and holler and yell about because we got the school teachers, the school staffers, school district people seem to think that they can do anything they want to and whatever they do, it's right. Hillsborough, in this particular case in Oregon, has a problem that they've had with a student. A kid was caught or was fighting, and he was that's one problem. But the problem that they decided to pick on and to stick on was that the kids with cell phones. I mean, students in the school can have cell phones. That's granted. I mean, it's going to be pretty hard to get rid of them to say you can't. To say that you're not supposed to use them while you're in class, that's fine. But in this particular case, students were not in class. It was before school, and there was a fight, and a couple of students took pictures of it. Well, it's a big thing in the news lately that no matter what you do, you're going to get caught nowadays.
Yes.
Because everybody in the world just about is taking pictures of everything. So no matter what you do, no matter where you do it, and no matter how you do it, you're going to probably get caught because somewhere, somehow, a photograph is going to sort of ease into the public and people are going to see it and you're going to be in trouble. But in this case, the girl took the pictures. And there was no reason why she shouldn't take a picture. I mean, the student was fighting. He was getting in trouble, and he was doing something wrong. And she took a picture of him doing something wrong. Well, there's that in itself. There's nothing wrong with that. But what they did is the teachers or the staff, they call it the staff, they don't call them teachers, decided that they didn't like that thought. They didn't want anybody to have pictures of it proving whether it was right or wrong because they want to handle it their way. And their way may not necessarily be right as far as I'm concerned. But basically, this girl that took a picture, they seized her telephone. Now, by that, they didn't run over and probably grab it out of her hand, however they might have.
To kids' lunches.
Say again?
They were doing it to kids' lunches.
Oh, that's true. But anyway, they seized this girl's telephone, and that's one thing. But then during the course of the day, they informed all of the kids with telephones. They all had to turn their telephones in. And the staff went through all these phones, and they cleared the phones. They cleared the phones of all the pictures. And so consequently, no pictures were there, supposedly, of this happening. In this particular case, I think this girl literally did something. I don't know if she did it on purpose or if she did it accidentally or whatever. Anyway, I think she sent this picture to someone before it was taken off of her phone. So the picture is available. But the fact is that the staff of the schools seized the telephones, cleared the telephones, and then they give them back at the end of the day. That's wrong. That should be against the law. And in my opinion, they should be putting all these staff members in jail for that concern. They're not going to, of course, because this is students. And in a way, students have no rights. They have no rights. They can do no right. They can only do wrong. And the teachers can do whatever they want to. But this was not a good thing to do, in my opinion. And they've cleared the pictures off of the things, and the mother of the child that was involved in the original confrontation, her son was suspended for 10 days. Well, she also said her son was arrested for assault, and disorderly conduct based on the video captured by students.
Right. Well, and that's where technology is at. Well, because you can now broadcast live to YouTube from your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, go ahead and take my phone away. But you're live right now on YouTube, and that's where it's at. And if you destroy the phone, too bad. That's where it is.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. It's like we're talking off air, is that if your phone is set up like my smartphone is, you got to enter a code to get into it. You know, and it, you know, if you don't use it after a couple minutes, it locks itself out. That's the way it's set up. You know, the teacher comes and takes it and is like, well, you know, give me the code to your phone. I'm sorry, you're going to have to call my parents and get permission.
Right, right. Well, there should be no reason to. You know, you can't put anything on a phone that's going to hurt somebody physically. I mean, you ultimately it can because of what the result of that picture or something. But you can't hurt somebody. I say you can't hurt somebody with a phone. You can throw it at them,
yeah.
I suppose. But that's not what we're talking about. So the fact that she's got something on this phone that you may not like, you being the teacher or you being the student that was doing the fighting, maybe they want to give that student preferential treatment or something, and which is what I think was going on. But that shouldn't be. Everybody should be. It's the same way with all of these phones that we've got out on the public now. You can't get away with things anymore. You can't sneak in and do things and get away with it because somebody somewhere is probably taking your picture.
Well, and it's going to get worse too when you if you talk about Google Glass and other technology like that, you know, wearable cameras, wearable technology. In fact, there's an article here which doesn't really go into much detail about why, but it's called a smart wig.
A smart wig?
Yeah. Sony has filed an application to patent what is called a smart wig. And according to the BBC article, the smart wig can be worn in addition to natural hair and will be able to process data and communicate wirelessly with other external devices. It doesn't say what it can do except for the fact that it can communicate. So, you know, I mean, so your landline's going to be a follicle line. I don't know, but it's just like it doesn't really, you know, what the whole purpose is. Is it other than the fact that it's a high-tech hair piece?
Well, that's that. Yeah, right. I mean, that could actually. I can see that in a way. You know, one way I can see it is if your hair became the antenna for whatever you were seeing this on or feeding into it, and it would allow you to broadcast to quite a ways. Probably, if hair's got a lot of strands or whatever you want to call it, could be antennas, could be pretty powerful.
All you need for a better reception is static.
I don't know. But that's an interesting thing. Things are changing, folks, ready or not, and they're changing a lot. And we're going to be it's just even the pictures that people are taking every day, whether you're on the road or on the highway or on the streets or again, see, it's interesting because there are rules and laws against listening in with a cell phone's microphone, you know, to record audio on the cell phone. That can be against the law and can't be used. But they don't have any laws for the cell phone photographs yet, the pictures.
Like you pointed out on many occasions, is when you're out in public, for example, your right to privacy is practically nothing.
Yep.
In fact, one really in-your-face example is what we have here in Eugene off 99, Highway 99 going into Junction City. There's a structure that crosses. It's 99 is a four-lane highway. It goes two in each direction. And there is a structure that goes over the freeway. Two cameras are with a camera focusing down into the cockpit of the car in each direction and a camera looking into the side windows. Its only functionality is to look at the occupants of the vehicle. Why? Who knows? I haven't found any information on it yet.
And is it constantly taking pictures, or just now and then, or, you know, 1 hour, or what's?
Oh no! I mean, there's nothing to indicate that if it's live streaming video or what. They're regular outdoor cameras. You know?
Yeah, it's true. People seem to think that when they're in their car, they're safe. They almost think that you can't see them, but actually you can. And you can take pictures of them.
Oh yeah, yeah. The technology that's out there is just really unreal,
and it's only going to get better or worse as you may wish to extend it.
Well, I mean, they have technology now that as soon as you touch your steering wheel, it'll take biometrics from you to make sure that you're alert enough to drive. There's one car that's on the market right now that watches you, and if your eyes are off the road for a certain period of time, it'll do something to get your attention.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting more and more of that, as a matter of fact. I was discussing that the other day with a couple of people, and we were saying, you know, there's this car that if something happens, two cars in front of you, an accident or something, the car reacts to that.
Right.
Well, a lot of times you'd never get to go anywhere because the car's going to be reacting to things all the time. And so there's a lot of things that are new that may be good that we don't know yet, and we're going to have to find out. And so I guess we're just going to have to live with them or try them out and see what happens.
Yeah, in fact, if we tried that technology out in Oregon, we'd have a lot of cars in therapy.
Really? I tell you, well, that's one of the things. I have never been one to buy a new car, but it's usually been because financial reasons I can't afford a new car. But now I wouldn't buy a new car if they gave it to me, because my God, I'd be scared of my car.
Oh yeah, I mean before. Here's a good example of overkill. On older vehicles, to actuate, you know, to turn on the brake lights was a very simple circuit. It went from the battery to a fuse to your foot pedal switch. Very simple.
Yep.
Right. Now it's from the battery to a fuse to the car computer to a switch to the car computer to an Ethernet connection to a module to the lights, which you get feedback from the other way to the car computer, which will tell you that your lights burned out. Right, there's the problem, because there's a lot of newer cars you see that have no stop taillights, and that's because the module didn't get the signal to go, hey, turn on, for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know, it's fine for all these newfangled things, but the more steps you have along the way, the more chances of it failing. And I'd just as soon be back to the basics of things.
Scotty, you know, Scotty's words, which I hold immortal, which is, the more complicated you make the plumbing, the easier it is to stop up the works.
Yep, that's true. Unfortunately, we're making cars unbelievably difficult. We're not making cars better. We're not making them bigger. We're not making the engines better or anything like that. We're just making them more complicated. And that's been going on for 3 or 4 or 5 years now. And who knows how long it's going to go on, but we're just making them more complicated, and they're going to, well, I was going to say they're going to show us.
Yep.
Well,
and they're being bigger cattle, because you got the OnStars, which you never know when it's broadcasting. A lot of the cars now randomly have the black boxes. It seems going to be, I think, in 2018, a requirement that they have the black boxes in the cars. They're talking about in Oregon and on the federal level about requiring GPS systems installed in the vehicles to tax you per mile based on where and when you drove. And so A whole bunch?
Well, the taxing per mile, I understand that, because somehow or another we've got to pay for all the highways that we're getting in, and we're constantly putting in new highways. We're constantly putting in more, not necessarily more highways, just rebuilding the ones we've got, for example. I mean, we've got millions of miles of highways in this country, and they're all falling apart. And so consequently, they're going to spend a huge amount of money to keep these things going. And it's going to get to the point where we're just spending money keeping the highways working and keeping them open. Then we're not going to – all of our money is going to be spent there. All of our highway money is going to be spent doing that. And what are you going to do about it? You got to do that, or people are going to be upset, because we've been – I don't know that it's good that we have that many highways all going everywhere or not. I mean, there's an awful lot of highways we could do without. I mean, there are whole.
Let me say this. I would go along with a GPS system in an electric car, as an example, if it was just saying if it was based on total miles traveled. In other words, giving a rough estimate that, okay, like say a car with a Take an average of cars, say one that gets 30 to 40 miles to the gallon, all right, and you tax them on that equivalent. You don't tax them based on the fact that you weren't to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and you're throwing congestion tax into it versus traveling the same road at 3 in the morning, which would be one-third the cost because there's no congestion. You know, in other words, treat it equally as you would a gasoline-powered engine.
Well, everything about this stuff, there are good parts and bad parts. You know, the congestion thing has its good part, because you want people to think about traveling when other people aren't traveling,
right,
to keep the congestion down. And that's just a matter of when you're going to travel. It has nothing to do with how many miles it is or anything else. So all of a sudden, where you're going counts almost as much as if you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's where you're going that we're keeping track of, then the federal government or any government can intercept that and tell you where you go, where you've been, where you're going. And do we want everybody knowing where we're going?
No.
Well, I guess not. I still say I don't go anywhere make a difference.
Whether you have anything to hide or not, no, that's part of the freedom that we have in the United States that we're slowly losing. But here's the other thing, too. I want to get back to, you know, raising money. Is they're thinking about putting a toll bridge up between I-5 or Oregon and Washington, and they're talking about, well, it's not going to be that much. You know, we're also going to have light rail there, but it'll cost you, $2.50 to travel across it. Okay, well, fine. You know, you live in Oregon, work in Washington, cost you $5 a day, $25 a week, you know, an extra $100 a month to go across it. Again, we're back to that same argument where we were at the beginning of the program. There's your expenses just went up $100 a month just to go to work.
Yep. And somewhere money has to be made up somewhere because you've lost it. And not everybody's going to sit back and say, that's okay, I can give up $100 a month.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You just can't do that. And people are all over the place are in trouble because they don't have this $100 here, $100 there, and everywhere $100 to just give up. I mean, it's no big thing. No, $100. It is a big thing.
Yeah. 646-721-9887. We've got a few more things coming up. And the... we have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment coming up in a few minutes. So hope you'll tune in for that. And again, I invite you, if you have anything you'd like to talk about, give us a call, 646-721-9887.
That extra $100 a month, that's just like people, what do you do about basic pay? How much you're going to get paid? How much if you get a raise in your basic hourly wage, somebody's got to pay for that. Somewhere along the line, they're going to pay for that. Whether it's in going to be passed along to the product you buy, because then you and I pay for it. But somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody has to make up the difference. And it's always that money has to be there, has to come from somewhere, and it's never just going to appear out of nowhere. And
you just print it.
Yeah, that's unfortunately that's what's gotten us into this trouble. It's because our government can just print it, and the rest of the world seems to accept it, and they shouldn't.
Actually, they don't have to print it anymore. They just change numbers in a computer.
Well, yeah.
Because our dollar is not represented by gold anymore, by the gold standard.
I know that, but it is represented by a piece of paper.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, it's a piece of paper.
So?
Called a legal tender. In fact, a lot of people don't even do that anymore. It's just all, like a stock market, for example, it's just numbers going back and forth.
Yeah, but I don't consider the stock market real. Stock market is nothing but a biggest fraud in the world.
Oh, okay. How about like my paycheck? I have direct deposit. I never see my check. All I know is that I get an email once a week that says that these numbers have been added to my checking account, and on the other side of the coin, when I do a debit transaction or electronically pay a bill, then I'm just taking those numbers and transferring it out to somebody else's box where those numbers add up.
Well, that's true. And I understand what you're saying because I have the same thing. But the point is somebody's got to be making some changes somewhere. Somebody's got to be doing something, and not everybody's living this way. But it's just the thing is what money you get from one place has to come from somewhere else. And, the fact that our government is indeed printing money, is indeed making money from nothing, is the only thing that's saving us. And that can't continue on.
No.
So sooner or later, it's all got to fail. And then we're going to have, they're talking about inflation is not going up. It's not happening right now. Inflation is okay. It's not going to stay that way. Someday it's going to all catch up with you, and then it's going to fly off the handle, and we're going to be in big, 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 big trouble. And that's the only thing that I'm worried about because see, I'm on a fixed income now. I'm old. And what's going to happen is my fixed income is going to be probably one of the first things to go.
Now, just the death squads will decide that you're not worth saving.
Well, that's okay, too. That's no problem. They can worry about that. Then I don't have to worry about anything.
As long
as they figure out how to do it fast.
Mm-hmm. 646-721-9887, 30 minutes remaining in the program. And I kind of want to get into a few things. I want to talk to. But first, let's get into the what the heck, shall we, Cliff?
Yep, let's do that.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, I got a couple items on the gambit. And one of them that I have mixed feelings about, I have mixed feelings about a lot of things, but this one here is, call it lack of change or whatever. Are you familiar with a show called Family Guy?
I've heard of it and I've seen it advertised. I don't ever, ever, ever watch it.
Okay. Well, since you're probably the one in 100 that doesn't, that they decided, what's getting people really riled up, they actually decided to kill off one of the main characters of the show, and there's been quite an outcry on that, which is kind of interesting. They decided to kill off Brian the dog, but that was just one of the awards I want to give to. But the other thing, this would be kind of like more of a props and kudos award, which would go out to Governor Rick Perry in Texas, by the way, who helped author a bill that is actually making Christmas not illegal in Texas, which I've never thought that it would ever get to that point. And what that means is that they've actually passed a law now that you can actually, it's called the Merry Christmas Bill, which is actually designed that if you're in school, you won't get in trouble for saying Merry Christmas. You can have your nativity scene. You can have your Christmas shows. You can do all this stuff. And, you know, like the way it used to be and not get in trouble for doing it, of course.
Like the way it used to be. That's the thing that gets to me, like the way it used to be. We've gone so far off track from what it's supposed to be that we're getting to having to authorize being able to do the right thing.
Exactly. And, I mean, because every other religion can do it, you know, why we have to pass a law so that they're, you know, I mean, even in broadcast, equal time, you know. But anyway, so kudos to Rick Perry for getting this through, so.
Well, how does he put this in there? I mean, this is not just Christmas, Merry Christmas, is it? I mean, it's a lot of other things, too, isn't it?
Well, basically, what it is that signed a law protecting Christmas and other holiday celebrations in Texas public schools from legal challenges. It also stressed that the freedom of religion is not the same of freedom from religion. So in a serious tone, he says basically, you know, it's dubbed the Santa Claus Bill or Merry Christmas Bill, which allows for the old-time traditional holiday symbols, such as the Messiah or Nativity scene, as long as more than one religion and a secular symbol are also reflected. So basically, equal religion.
Yeah. It's really kind of bad that we have come to this.
Well,
sad.
It is very sad. And to kind of go along with that, and you were talking about schools, and since we are kind of talking about schools, now this letter here I came across, this is outdated, but it's still kind of hilarious and sad at the same time. This one was dated April 22nd, 1994, and this is a letter that was sent home to a parent from a teacher. It says that, you may already know this, but in case Alec has neglected to tell you, I'm assigning him to detention for 1 hour this Friday, April 22nd. And the reason is as follows. Alec constantly defies me. During class, he contradicts me numerous times when I insisted that the length of 1 kilometer was greater than 1 mile. Every other student in the class accepts my lesson without argument. But your son refused to believe what I told him, offering such rebuttal as, you're lying to class, and commanding other students to challenge my curriculum. Okay. Although he was correct. I love that.
Yeah.
Although he was correct, Alex's actions show a blatant disregard for authority and lack of respect for his school. In the future, however, Alex would be better off simply to accept my teachings without resistance. Please make sure that your son understands this.
That's sad. Boy, that is really sad, because that's what it's come to, too, especially in the schools. Do as I say, not as I do. Do as I say, not as you're supposed to do. Or, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, kudos for this kid to stand up and go, okay, well, this is easily verifiable, and, you know, especially, of course, 94, you still have, I guess, you had way back, so there's other way. Well, hell, you just get a book. It says right here, teacher, page 37.
Yeah. The thing is, again, we've got people who think that they are law, they can make the law, they are the law, and that ain't the case. It's just not right.
Exactly. I got an argument a long time ago when I first went to college. We were talking about the direction that electricity actually flows. And because there's two concepts of it. One is axial, one is conventional. And conventional thinking is that electricity flows from positive to negative, where it actually flows from negative to positive.
It actually flows both. We don't use direct current in the United States. We use alternating current, which is going half of a cycle one way and half of a cycle the other way.
No, I'm talking about DC circuitry.
Okay.
Like in your car or something like that. But either way, you know, and it's one of those things that I got in an argument and with the instructor, and I backed up my facts. Here you are. Well, you made me look stupid.
Well, that's the case. You made me look stupid. That's the entire case. That's the case of this instructor, this teacher, as they make her look stupid. You can't do anything that makes a teacher look stupid. Well, that's not true, especially if you're right. I mean, if you've got facts behind what you're saying, then you should be able to show those facts, and the teacher should back down.
Right.
The teacher should have enough smarts to be able to back down intelligently. That's if she doesn't have enough smarts to be able to do that, then again, see, there's many cases where we're letting people teach our students, our kids, that don't know as much as the kids do.
Yeah. Well, and okay, even teachers can be wrong, but the you know, you could just say, I'm sorry, I misspoke, or I was wrong, or even just not say anything, but don't give the kid detention. But, of course, the only reason why the kid got detention was because he spoke up to the class. You go, hey.
The reason he got this detention is because he did it a lot.
Yes.
Not just one time. And that's, you know, we don't know in this particular case if he had cause to do it a lot, but it sounds like if the teacher's adamant about what she's saying, that the kid probably does have cause. It's the teacher that's an idiot, not him.
Well, yeah.
Of course, then we get back to our illustrious idiot president.
How does that go back to the president?
Because I said it.
Oh.
Just, if you're talking of idiots, you've got to be talking about the president, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, it doesn't have anything to do with the president, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, that's true. But, I mean, you can blame it on if you want to.
Well, you know, if he can stand there. See, the only problem with when the president stands up there and gives a speech or says something, and he says something totally wrong, or he says something that's totally opposite of what he said last week when he stood up there and gave us a speech, the thing is, there are people who don't listen. There are people who don't pay attention. There are people who agree with him. And right now, it's slowly changing. His popularity rating is down to, what, 46 or 43 or something like that. It's usually been above 50%, in which case half of the people think he's doing the right thing and half of them don't. And unfortunately, half of them are not paying attention, don't know what he's doing, but still think he's doing one way or the other. Slowly people are catching on. People are realizing that what he's saying doesn't always make any sense.
That was just kind of fitting.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I just have, there's just no possible way we can really do much of anything when we've got a person leading the entire country that's an idiot.
Yeah. And you're a producer here who's got five monitors.
Well, that's possible. The only one or two of which actually work.
Yes. 721-9887. Speaking of idiots, one other thing I want to get into. I don't know if you want to call this touchy situation or not, but it's one of those I'm not even sure how to give it a lead in. Basically, we had a little minor invasion on Sunday as I'm waiting for my computer to catch up with me. I've got to move your face off my tab here.
Why would you have to move my face?
Well, because your face is over my document here.
Well, that's fine.
Okay, as it just came up. From thetownhall.com is the website if anybody wants to read it, but it's all over the place. Mob of 150 illegal aliens attacked Border Patrol agents as a mob of 150 Mexicans stormed over the southern border from Mexico into the U.S. On Sunday, attempting to enter the United States, attacked Border Patrol agents with rocks, water bottles, and other items. The agents fired pepper ball launchers at them, but that didn't deter the crowd. They had their cell phones out, speaking of. So this group was out to spark an incident, and that's really what they wanted to do. They said that the article claims that cool heads prevailed. Nobody got shot. But still, it's and the reason for this is because of the rumors of the upcoming immigration bills, that they want to be over here if the president or whatever they get comprehensive immigration passed, and they do like what Reagan did and just say, okay, everybody here now, you congratulations, you are now a citizen, start paying your taxes.
See, that's the only thing that we have wrong with. I think we should allow everybody into the country that wants to come into the country. But we should put a tax on them. In other words, if we have, we supposedly have, what, 20 million, 10 million, something illegal immigrants in this country right now. If we said, okay, they each have to spend, I have to pay a $10 tax for being an illegal immigrant, then that's a lot of money. And we'd say we'd put that on them per month, and almost everybody could afford to pay that $10 per month. Somehow or another, they could come up with that, and this country could get rich, pay all of our bills, to do all of our things that we want to do with that money alone.
Well, here's the thing,
and that would because their country doesn't have that tax, that might give them an incentive to stay home.
Well, yeah, okay. The problem is, though, it's just like not every illegal wants to be legal.
No, you don't give them a choice. If they're going to work here, as it is, you see, we withhold from their paychecks every month anyway. And if we don't withhold from the paychecks, that's because the people who are hiring them have not declared them. There's two things going to happen here. One, we've got to make sure that the people that are hiring these illegals are doing so legally, which is pretty high. Well, anyway, we've got to make sure that the people who are doing the hiring are paying the taxes and doing things too. So consequently, we've got to go after them. That's what's one of the things that we should have been doing right from the beginning, by the way, to solve this problem. Is go after the people who are doing the hiring. We shouldn't go after the individuals. We shouldn't go after the people who come across the border. We shouldn't even have to worry about the people across the border. We shouldn't have to put up guards or anything. We should just go after the people who are hiring them. So that if the people who are hiring them have to pay money to hire them, they won't.
Well, we still need our border security. I mean, that's still...
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do, because, you know, it's not just the illegals that come across. It's people that actually want to do us harm. So
there are so few of those.
We don't need to leave the door wide open. We need some type of security across the border. But I do agree with you. We need to go after the people that do hire them. But here's the thing, is that one of the reasons why employers take a chance is because it costs so damn much to have an employee. And I know this from experience, is that I'd rather give somebody, if I hire somebody for $10 an hour, and I can pay them under the table, that's all I'm out is $10 an hour. If I hire somebody legally, for $10 an hour, it's going to cost me $14 an hour because I have to match Social Security, I have to have work comp, I have to have this, I got to do withholdings, I got to file quarterly reports.
Then we should have laws and we should have rules and regulations, and we should enforce them so that when you hire this person illegally for $10 an hour, that we make sure that it costs you $15 or $18 an hour instead of $14, so it costs you more money to hire them illegally than it does to hire them legally.
Exactly. And that was one of the things that I think it was Representative King was suggesting, is that you don't get to, if the employee does not have a matching Social Security number, you know, number to name, that you don't get to deduct them. So in other words, you use the E-Verify system or use the system for verification, and if the two don't match up, you don't get to deduct them from your payroll, from your taxes.
Well, we need to go a step further than that, because the point is, these people are not going to bother to match anything. They're not going to bother to check anything. They're not going to even turn anything in. What we need to do is we need to have somebody who literally spends their time. We need to take all these people that we've got on the border and put them to work visiting these companies that are hiring these people. That's the thing we've got to do, is we've got to because you can check and see. In other words, you go to a farm and you have 500 people out there on the field picking up daisies, whatever they're doing, and yet they've only got 30 people on their payroll. Well, that's a kind of an obvious thing. And so consequently, you start putting somebody in jail or charging somebody a huge amount of money, but not the people working out there, not the people who are picking up the daisies. We put out the people who are hiring the daisy pickers.
Yeah.
And consequently, and we aren't doing that. We aren't paying attention to them. We're letting them say, oh, we're not doing anything wrong. We wouldn't do anything wrong. We're law-abiding citizens. Bullshit. They're not law-abiding citizens. They're creeps.
That's why we have the 1099 laws. But when you have something like what happened on Sunday, you know, when you have a mob of 150 people storming the border.
Well, we wouldn't have that if our laws were being administered the way they're supposed to be within the country, the local laws, not the laws against the people, 150 people coming in. They wouldn't be coming in if there wasn't a reason to be here.
Right.
And if we take away that reason to be here, which we'd be doing if we would enforce the laws that are already there,
right,
then we wouldn't have a problem. Oh, goodness. Excuse me.
It's a good to have your own microphone.
Right. No kidding. Well, I'm far enough away from the microphone.
I can't. You know, again, this was just merely 150 people at one time. What if it was a mob of 150,000 people?
I'm telling you, we're not going to have that mob of 150,000 people because there's not going to be a reason for them. If you're enforcing your laws within this country, the desire to come here is going to go away because we're not going to have a reason for to be here. In other words,
yeah, right. That's what I mean. But we're not enforcing the laws, and that's what created the problem to begin with. And now you have these groups of people that are willing to, right on broad daylight, storm the borders, face armed officers, and, you know, to come over here in massive. Now, it doesn't say how many people were actually caught or sent back or whatever. But what if this becomes a trend? You know, right now it's 150. Next week it might be 250, and next month it might be 1,000 people. We can't stop them.
Yes, we can. That's the point. We by enforcing our laws, we're going after the wrong persons. We're the people that are storming the law, storming the border. The people who are coming into the country, whether it be 150 or 150,000 of them, they're not the ones that are doing anything wrong. I mean, they are doing something wrong, technically, but effectively, we're going after the wrong person. We need to be going after the people who are hiring them, and to stop the incentive for them being hired. In other words, make it sure that it's deleterious, whatever the word is, to hire them. It's bad for the person to hire them because you're going to get in trouble. And we need to take all these people that are patrolling the borders and all these people that are doing all this, and those people should be the ones going to the farms, going to the employers, and watching. I don't care if you have to stay there and live there at the farm, because you know
just
we've got to, huh?
It's not just farms, you have warehouses.
Well, whoever, yeah,
whatever. And then you're going to wind up in a situation in Arizona where, okay, you're on the southern border. The majority of your people that cross illegally are not Canadians. You know, so you got people that are, you know, okay, they're brown skin or what do you want to call it, and they don't speak English. Oh, gee, you think that they might have crossed the border? That might be worth going. I mean, it's like
No. You can't.
How do you
pick on everybody who doesn't speak English or who's dark brown?
Like you're saying, is you go out to the field, and okay, because again, you know, if you talk about fields,
employers. This.
Okay, so an employer has a large number of people, and let's say it's a large number of Hispanics. Okay, are a large number, I don't know, 3,000 Russians, just to kind of pull somebody, so somebody calls me a racist. And INS is going to come in and go, comrade, you have an excessive amount of Russians here, and it looks like you only have 30 employed. And I'm going to check your records, and then somebody's going to say, well, you're profiling against Russians.
That's fine.
And that's
perfectly all right, because we've got to do, you know, this business of politically correct has got to go to the stop. It just has to end, because there is a point where we've got to protect our country. And one way or another, we've got to do that. And this makes more sense than trying to arrest people who are not really bad people at the border. But the people who are the bad people are the employers who are employing these people. And
those people, and here's the thing that I'll put on the consumer as well. The employers are taking advantage of a situation. Yet the majority of the people that come over here are not bad people. The people themselves.
Right.
All right. But like you say, but it's the unscrupulous employers who are willing to take advantage of that situation, pay them a sub-minimum wage, you know, for cheaper labor so they can make their profit. Okay?
Right.
So by us buying the material from them is encouraging that. Now, like the argument in construction is, how can a roofer that, you know, gets a CCB license, gets the insurance, and does everything he's supposed to do, he hires union wage labor, it's going to cost a lot to put your roof up versus another roofer who hires a bunch of illegals who happen to have some skills in roofing and pays them just outright. You know, the legal guy can't compete. Well, why isn't anybody going after the other one? Well, because, you know, you can't go after everybody. And, again, it's racial profiling. But like I said, if you look at the numbers, okay, you're reporting a crew of 25, and you see 50 on the docks. Well, then there's something going on there. Or, you know, we don't have valid socials that match the name with the people that you have. You know.
Well, the valid socials and all that sort of thing, that's going to be a different point. There's a whole lot to this, I understand, and there's a lot to trying to implement this and making it work. And it's not easy. We'd have to sit down and figure it out more carefully, and we don't have time in the 4 minutes or so that we have to go.
Here's where the problem has come, is that, and it's what I'm saying, we created a problem. We created a problem by not enforcing the law, which has allowed people to bring their children over here to the point that this is the only country that they know, and it would be cruel to, for one, separate them from the parents, number two, to send them, deport them to a country that they probably don't even speak the language.
Well, that gets down to a different subject entirely, because you know, if they're born here, they're citizens here. We need to change that too. That's something that's been wrong for a long time. We have so many loopholes in our government and in our laws that it's not even funny. And we've got to start deciding who do we want to punish, them or us? There isn't us, you know.
Right.
We are the ones who have lived here and were born here and didn't come from some other country. How many of those are there? There's about 10 of us.
Well, we're the ones that's being treated second-class citizens. If you're here illegally, you are not required under Obamacare to have insurance. In Oregon, of course, because of enough people petitioned, it's actually going to go on the ballot, but otherwise they're going to do driver's license. In Oregon, and I think around the rest of the country too, you have to show a birth certificate to get a driver's license. And Oregon was going to say, just show us a piece of mail that says that you've been in one spot for a year, and you can get Oregon driver's license or 8 years, you can get a driver's license that's for 4 years. So in other words, while we have strict laws on us and like the Obamacare requirements, they are immune from it. And then, like I said, the ones that, because they're not in the system, you get your paycheck or hopefully cash, and you don't pay taxes on it.
So why are we sitting back like idiots and accepting this?
Thank you. Because of the politically correct crowd, because we can't separate the families, we got to teach our children to learn a foreign language that's not our choice. You got California now that's, it doesn't matter if you're a citizen or not. You know, there's no advantages now to being a citizen, because we turned our back, we let the problem grow to a point that it's almost, totally out of hand. And like you've said before, well, we might just open the borders, let them all over here. It's like, why?
Well, only if we change our system and to the point that we enforce the laws, not just don't want to do that as it sits. We've got to change some things first. We've got to finally wake up and understand that our laws have a reason for being there and that we don't want to just go. You see, over the years, we've formulated laws that have a reason. What we're doing now isn't true. We're just being politically correct. And that isn't what works. That isn't what can work. That's gonna kill us as a society.
On top of that, too, they act like they act like they have a right to be over here. We have a right not to allow anybody to come into our country. We have a system in place that, yes, it's a long system. It may be broken or whatever. It can take 5 to 10 years to come over here. But the whole point is that it's our country. If you want to come over here, then you follow our rules to do it. Otherwise, if you come in through the side door, don't whine that you decided to cheat and go around everybody else.
That's right. That's right. And that's why I say we need to have something changed to work that out, because we just we're doing politically correct things. We're not doing right things.
Exactly. Well, that's our show for today, folks. Again, have a safe holiday, and check out our link on our Blog Talk Radio page to take you to Facebook. Click on the like button there. We need at least 12 more likes. I hope you'll do that for us. And we'll be back again next Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time.
Happy Turkey Day, everybody.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.